Welcome to the EISJ podcast series. This series is dedicated to keeping you up to date with what is happening here at EISJ, and also discusses key themes which are important within our community.
Hi, good morning. My name is Mr. White, and with me today we have some guest speakers talking about the application processes and procedures for US applications. We've just finished an overrun UK application process, so hopefully we won't take everybody's time and bore everybody. So first of all, we have Ms. Fernandez.
Hello, everyone.
We have Akib.
Hello, everyone.
And we have Noor.
Hello.
Hello, is that it? Just the one person. Everybody else said everyone. Okay. Right, I think jump straight in, just to kind of get rid of the nerves in the room. Why are you applying to the US, Akib?
There are a lot of reasons. I think primarily it was because I have a lot of family members there. So because I have my receiving family there, it would be more convenient for me to, you know, go to the US, and I don't have to worry about my dorm expenses since I can live with them and stuff like that. Another reason is obviously US has one of the best education systems in the world, I think. So therefore, that was my selection.
And how do you know they've got one of the best?
So there are a lot of university ranking platforms, for example, higher education, top university, and all of these sorts. And if you go through them, you'd see that it's primarily only US universities, with maybe a couple UK and a couple Singaporean universities at the top, but it's mostly US universities. Well, I'd say about 70% of them being American universities.
Depends on which rankings you're looking at.
But
statistics. You can't just make up statistics.
No. In top university,
The important thing is he's convinced he wants to go to the US,
exactly.
And he knows that his dream universities are there, and that's all that matters.
So the moral of the story is Akib makes things up to suit his own desires.
I did not make things up.
I'm joking. Calm down.
Next time you come with figures.
It's in my mind.
I want it cited and referenced properly. Yes. Otherwise, your TOK is out the window. What about you, Noor? Come on. I'm sure you have things to say.
Just like Akib, I do have family there. My sister is currently studying there, so I kind of have the ins and outs of how to basically function in America after living in a country like the UAE for so long. And after researching, I've noticed that primarily US universities have a pre-law program, because when you're applying for a law degree, you can't really do a pre-law course, but only certain colleges in America do have that, and that's something that I look for.
Excellent. You just mentioned about differences and about easier transitions and stuff. What differences are there between living in the US and living in the UAE?
Here it's a more transient lifestyle. I think it's easier to live here. Everything is basically provided for you. There's so many different things that you can get here that you can't really get in the US. And because the US, everyone's always moving, always working. It's a lot of just walking here. There aren't really places for you to walk around in and kind of live that sort of lifestyle. And here, for example, recently they just introduced a permit for teenagers to work, but in America it's you're so accustomed to working at such a young age, so it's more of a hard working life there, but it's the same type of hard working but in a different aspect.
Interesting. Miss Fernandez,
yes.
What would you say are the biggest advantages of studying in the US?
US gives scholarships, which is one of the reasons why our students apply there. Unlike the UK, there's a lot of flexibility. It's a four-year undergraduate degree program, and there's more flexibility for students who, you're not restricted by a course. You can pick your majors in the second or the third year. You can explore in the US, And like Akib said, I completely agree with him. Some of the best universities in the world are in the US. You have your Ivy League universities. We've had students who've gone to the UCs, UC Berkeley, Stern Business School in NYU, New York. We've had students go to MIT, Penn State, some of the top best colleges, best universities in the world. I think the overall experience, the student life, you know, I'm just thinking of Noor and her sister. You can be part of sororities and, you know.
Oh my God. That sounds like trouble.
I mean, you know, we've had a student who came and joined us online over Zoom for some talks. And she has been very active in her sorority group and doing involved in numerous clubs, doing a lot of things, finding place for academics as well as these activities. So, you know, it really gives you a well-rounded experience. And if you like sport, you have a lot of opportunities with regards to developing that skill set as well, you know. So
what, I mean, sorry, sororities, maybe it's not your thing, but what do the sororities do? Because obviously it's a very American thing and lots of people may not be entirely familiar with what they are.
It's basically like a group where they all help each other. And speaking from my like knowledge of the sorority that my sister's in, they raise awareness for a bunch of different causes. And because like it's such a prestigious thing, a lot of alumni have like become super successful. So they fund the sorority so that they're able to have big events to help fund different charities. And it's like kind of like a friendship type of thing. They have this thing called the Little and the Big Sister. And you just become super close friends, and it helps the whole social aspect of like moving into a new college and socializing.
And just coming back to, you know, what we mentioned in the UK podcast, that university is about networking. I think the sorority groups and the frat groups are where most of the networking really takes place.
Yeah.
Like you make your connections and then you go and set up businesses with these guys later on when you graduate from university. Yeah, so.
So what are your considerations? What is it you want from university?
Well, there are a lot of things that I'd like, and I think that's also one reason why I primarily chose the US is that, like Ms. Fernandez said, in the sport aspect, it's huge. They have a lot of D1, D2, D3 teams participating in various different sports like tennis, basketball.
For those of us that may well be ignorant to anything athletic, what are the D1, D2, D3 teams?
Right. So essentially in the NCAA, which is essentially the national division system for each school, there's a ranking based on which university belongs where. So D1 is like a set of schools with the best sport activities, D2 being the second best, D3 being the third best. For example, in D1, you'd find universities like Stanford. They are D1 because they have essentially the best tennis team, best rugby team, and stuff like that, a combination of that. I think in that aspect, sport in the US is brilliant. It's probably one of the best things I've seen.
So is that a bigger difference between UK and US universities then? The actual sporting attachments to the...
Yes,
the
so in comparison to the UK, I would say that US has a little more competition in university level. I haven't done a lot of research on UK, but I think UK is more for amateur club level than, you know, when you go to the US and compete in these teams, become part of the roster and stuff like that.
So part of the factor
team
in your application process and your desires is for those additional extracurricular sporting aspects of life at uni.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
What about you, Noor? What are you looking forward to?
Add to what Akib was saying, that there's also recognition given to, you know, all the extracurricular work that you're putting, sporting events, you know, if you're taking doing music at a certain level, if you're doing great examinations in music, all that comes together in your uni application.
Yeah.
So they recognize and they give, they take students based on these experiences.
Oh, so it's part of the
application
process.
Whereas when you're looking at the UK application process, it's very, very academic.
So I don't wish to put you on the spot because I know how modest you are about it. Your tennis achievements and your ranking within
the UAE
certain standards currently, do they help your applications for the US?
Definitely. They do help the application. I think also as part of my ranking and hard work, the another thing that goes to the application is, if Ms. Fernandez noticed before, is the essays, right? And throughout the years, all of the effort and emotions that I've put into tennis, I have the ability to put into these essays. which are an ideal and important part of the application process as well. So, you know, if you have a good amount of emotion in, and if you learned a lot of things from the sport you do, it's very good to put that into the essay and submit the essay.
That's awesome. So that doesn't happen in UK university applications, so they don't take account of,
it would be like an 80-20, 80%
yeah.
academic work, and then you can mention your extracurricular activities, that would be 20%. Even that would be something related to the course that you're applying to, but whereas when you're applying to the US, it could be completely unrelated.
Yeah, but you still get recognition.
Looking at engineering and he's interested in tennis. That would work for him.
I actually didn't know that. I didn't know they took it into such high regard as part of the application. I knew all extracurriculars help, but I didn't know quite to that extent. What about you, Noor? What are you looking forward to about studying in the US?
Well, I'm really looking forward to going into an actual pre-law program, like a course, rather than just picking any major, because you don't really need to have a specific major to go into law school. You just need to get the grades and do the LSAT. But I'm like really looking forward to seeing how they take it like into perspective before you actually get into the law aspect of it, like how they prepare you for it. And just, I really enjoy the social aspect of like America, because everyone's just so connected with each other. I feel like here people are more divided and like secluded, but there everyone's so mixed together because everyone's coming from different areas. So everyone's just trying to connect with one another. And I'm just looking forward to that, like, most of all.
Excellent.
Right. I had a question, if I might
ask
that.
Please.
I mean, in terms of universities that you've been looking at, you have your dream universities, your safety universities, your beach universities. You know, do you have any names in mind at this point?
Yeah, definitely. I think I did mention before Stanford being one of essentially the best of my dreams. Stanford, MIT. I would say in between reach and dream, I would put the UCs in, the University of California, all of them, Berkeley, San Diego, Los Angeles, all of that stuff. Yeah. What about you? Do you have any universities in mind?
My main university, and it's kind of funny, it's going to be the same university as my sister because I kind of like the connections. Temple University, but also because it is one of the only colleges that I found that like was in an area that I liked that had a pre-law course. But I have been looking at NYU and Syracuse.
That's good
as well.
Okay.
So that was what I was going to say. I mean, you've obviously both decided on US to study, but how do you go about selecting the specific university? But I think Noor, you just said that, so you're going to. Same as your sister?
Yeah.
And Akib, you're going based on your made-up statistic ranking?
Well, not necessarily made-up, but yes, that would be accurate.
But also, he mentioned that he has family, so you're
University. Yeah, so for example, in Austin, Texas, I have one of my dad's family friends, and one of the best universities around that area is UT Austin, and they're very good for electrical engineering as well, so that's part of my listing.
So the actual specific location within the US, for you, is partly dictated by
family,
which, to be honest, you know, as a parent, the financial aspects of sending your children to university is a huge consideration.
Yeah, and I think not just financial. Other part is that they feel more safe sending in their child to an area where they know people are in.
Yeah.
So
there's a support network in place.
Exactly.
So even though you're moving from here, which you've established a support network, you've lived in. You know, being
strong
at school
support,
here.
Yeah.
So
they
have that security net.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what about the specific aspects of university? I know we've talked about the course, and I know we've talked about sororities offering the support, but what is it that you personally are looking forward to about university?
I think that in the US specifically, it's an area with a lot of conjoined nationalities, extremely different cultures and all of that stuff. So what I would love, as being, you know, part of international school, Emirates International School, I like to meet new people, and US gives me that opportunity. That social aspect, like Noor said before, is brilliant. Our world is, you know, in the process of westernizing as well, and I think US is the hub of it. So, you know, going through that process firsthand would be amazing.
Yeah, like I said, the social aspect, and something else that I don't know if other people look forward to. I know some people are scared, and I'm also scared of, but the whole like living independently and like working for yourself and fending for yourself, like doing everything by yourself, is something that I think everyone should experience at some point or another. And going to a country like the USA, where you have to do everything by yourself, it's a learning experience, and it's fun when you actually know what you're doing and you know how to work on yourself and work for yourself. It's like it benefits you, and it pushes you to do more and pushes you to success.
And who or what has been the biggest influence to choosing the US? Is it, like you said before, family, network, or is it something else? Is there something else that has kind of just gone, oh yeah, this place better than everybody else, everywhere else, sorry?
For me, it's like, I just, every time I go to America for holiday, I just love the area. I like how it looks, I like how it feels. So that's like one of the main things that for me is like drawing me to America. And also, like I said, that my sister lives there, so I can know what to do, and I have someone there like Aka to like help me around and for housing and anything that I need help with, because my family is still going to be here. Anything I need help with, like my ID, my passports, any like legal documents, I'd have someone there to help me. I wouldn't just be completely on my own.
Yeah. And what about the application process?
I was just going to get to that. Like, so, you know, you'll be applying in a few months.
Yeah.
So how are you preparing yourself for the university application process? What have you done up to now?
I think for the university applications, there are a lot of things that goes into it, right? So we're taking it step by step right now. I'm, you know, discussing with my family a lot of the things. The most important things after the selection of the university is based on the course that you want to do is seeing, are you capable of getting into that university with your essays, your grades, and essentially seeing how many universities you're going to apply to, and just making an estimate of how many universities do you think you will get into, right? And also one more thing is that as part of the application process, I'm doing a lot of plans for my summer to extend the application.
And also the SATs.
Exactly.
You've either taken the SATs or you're going to be taking the SATs.
Yep.
Yeah, so I will be taking my SATs in a few weeks. So I've been preparing for that, and as well as that, it's like extracurriculars and just building my CV, because in America, like a big percentage of your application goes towards extracurriculars. Like they don't take grades as that much of an indicator like in the UK. So just building up my leadership skills, my organizational skills, and as well as like Aqib said, like summer work. I did a lot in internship and a program last year, and I hope to do more to boost my experiences in law and my extracurricular activities.
Okay. And the course you're specifically looking at, Noor, how does that differ in the US to other places? I know you mentioned about being able to change or not have a fixed major initially, but how is that different in the US from the UK, say?
Because you're allowed to change. If you don't like it, you're not going to be you're not going to have to be stuck with it for the rest of your undergrad. So you're able to like move around and see which works better for you. And like I said, with the pre-law courses that aren't that common in other areas, it tells you exactly what you need and it prepares you for what you want to do. Because I'm very passionate about law, but who knows, what if like I go and I do a pre-law course in the UK and I'm not able to change and I do a four-year undergrad for nothing. But in America, if I were to do the four-year undergrad pre-law course, I could change and be like, hey, no, this isn't right for me. I actually kind of want to go into the business side of something, and I'm able to move around and know exactly what I want to do.
So the flexibility.
Just to give an example, we had a student who went to the UK for law and found out that he didn't want to do law anymore. So he had to then reapply, do economics, and then he majored in economics. That's what he graduated with. So, you know, in the US, there's a bit like you can just switch courses, whereas in the UK, you have to start over again.
Yeah. So, what about credit transfer? Is that an option? Is that a possibility?
I think not for the UK, but in the US, you can get credits for courses that you've completed at university.
Yeah. But I think that's an important thing to mention, because it's a big decision going to university and choosing your major and basically deciding on your entire future. People, I don't think, are fully aware that you can if you need to be, or if you need to, sorry, you can change. Mm. So, you know, you can sign up and you can, at this point in your life, you can have that absolute focus. This is what I want to do and nothing's going to shift me. Mm. And then you get there and you think, do you know what? Mm. Don't like this.
Yeah.
Not quite for me. Mm. So in those aspects, studying in the US is an easy option, if you like, because you do have the fluidity or freedom to make those changes.
The flexibility.
Yeah, flexibility. Thank you. Thank you. You should be, you know, maybe heading towards an English teacher or something. Multi-skilled and multifaceted. But then in the UK, I mean, it is still an option.
Yes.
It's not the end of the world if you've chosen the wrong kind of major, but focus. But there's more of a complex procedure involved to switch and transfer courses. So there's an absolute added bonus of the studying in the US though. Apart from paying for it all, I'm sure there will be parents listening, probably your parents listening, to see their little darlings, or hear the darlings on air. But what advice could you give to parents in general? Because as a parent, this point is ridiculously tough for us, sending our children off to university. We haven't got a clue. Haven't got a clue about how to support best. We don't know what to do for the best. Because as parents, we always think we know best. But in reality...
I think the best thing you can do as a parent is, from my experience on actually what my parents are doing as well, is I'm heading towards where I want to go, right? And what a parent should be doing is be there for me and supporting me all the way through. For example, this can be anything, you know. For example, if I'm sitting down and talking to myself, okay, I want to go to this university, this seems nice. The parent can always help in, you know, barge and be like, oh yeah, okay, but I think this is good too, and, you know, help in with the process throughout. Another thing is, in part of your application process, a lot of the internships and all of this, your parents should definitely be involved, because they will definitely help you find better internships as well.
Okay.
And also, you know, we have a wonderful software called UniFrog in school, which sort of like students can make their university lists on UniFrog, and then you can sit down with your parents and look at costs, tuition fees, you know, compare the different statistics provided through UniFrog, and then have that conversation about does this work for us? Does this university work for us? You know,
yeah,
so because funding plays a very, very important role when it comes to
university. Well, it does, and in lots of cases, in fact, I guess majority of cases, the financial implications are one of the biggest factors, because, again, speaking as a parent, obviously we always want the best for our children. In reality, we may not necessarily always be able to fund what is best or what is deemed as best for our children. So it's a case of, you know, like you say, like UniFrog, something like that, which can provide a cost comparison.
Rankings, all the rankings.
Yeah, rankings with like proper data,
yeah.
Not made up ACIB data. But no, these are things that do have to be considered. But what about on a personal level? When your parents are going to be here and you're going to be in a different country,
right,
how's that going to be? And I know you've got security of family already being there, and your sister's already been there, but how would you advise your parents to cope with that kind of, oh no, my child has left home? Yeah.
It's be independent.
I think we've lived with them for the past 12 to 13 years.
Oh, right. So now it's a case of, right, I live with you too long, I'm gone.
No, not really. So, I mean, it's to say that we will eventually come back to them, right? They're our parents. And I think the best they can do is, you know, wait for us, listen to us. Fortunately, we have social media and a lot of different platforms where we can call them in. Yeah, it's virtually. But, I mean, after our 4 years or 3 years of learning, we're going to go back to them, you know, say, hi, how are you, mom? And all of the different stuff, we're going to communicate with them. They're always there, you know, they're always in our minds. And I think we're never going to get let go of the fact that we love them as much, you know.
Oh, how sweet. And you just said that on air. It's been recorded. Oh, how lovely.
Special food today.
Hold on, Noor's leant into the microphone. Something profound is about to come out.
Think about the money I will make.
Oh. Actually, that's a fair point, yeah. So
one.
Your parents can retire and you can look after
You're
them financially.
Investing in you. That's exactly.
Actually, that is pretty much, is as a parent, everything we do is investing in our children. So financially,
cold,
emotionally.
Yeah,
sorry?
It's a little cold, but that's how it works.
Do you know how much it costs a parent to raise a child to the age of 18? I looked it up the other day because my son was annoying me and I was going to charge him. So I looked it up. It's about £260,000 to raise a child from birth to 18. But I actually, when I did Google that, I Googled how much does it cost for a child? No. I better change that quick. Fortunately, I wasn't on my work network, so we're safe. But just for the record, I wasn't trying to buy children. But no, it's interesting that you know how much the financial implications are that actually do have to be accounted for in the decision process. But as a parent, it's tough. But then, as a student, it's full of excitement.
Yeah. Yes.
And anticipation.
Definitely.
But also, you know, be honest with yourselves. You are going to be sad. You're
moving
away from your parents, your friends, your siblings. So how do you anticipate that you're going to overcome those anxieties?
Well, fortunately, we have social media. But I think it depends on our personality as well. You know, how differently we cope up, which is what I did, essentially, is that throughout my younger years, I would travel by myself to a lot of countries as a result, training my mind to, or actually maybe my parents were helping or aiding in training my mind to how I would survive if I ever, you know, in the future did go away from country and away from parents. Mm-hmm. So that's something that plays an important role in terms of coping up. I think that eventually we're going to have to be alone. We're going to have to be supporting ourselves. So we have to keep that mindset and keep grinding too.
So what about you, Noel? How are you going to cope with things?
I mean, after like living such a stable life here, it's going to be hard for a bit, but I think I just need to surround myself with people, just keep myself busy and just know that I left for a reason. I left to build a life, build a career, just put channel in all my energy and all like my sadness, my emotions into doing the best and doing the best that I can to prove that like, there's a reason that I'm out here. There's a reason why I left, and I'm showing you that I'm, like, working on it.
Good. What do you do on the days where you think, I'm terrible, I'm not going to achieve the grades that I need to achieve? What do you do?
Well, firstly, there are a lot of motivational books to read, which I enjoy. I don't have an example in my mind right now, which Mr. White, I'm sure you can give, considering that you are in school.
Oh, well, thank you. Yeah. Malcolm Gladwell.
Exactly.
It was one of the authors in a series of books that would help deal with certain things. And in fact, Zig Ziglar, who is a person that Mr. Ellis likes to quote in his newsletter openings, motivational books, basically how, not necessarily motivational specifically, but just things on how to deal with the world and existence and kind of and just how to function.
Definitely.
So things like that. So you know,
there's two ways actually that has helped me cope up in the past couple of years. You know, when I'm thinking I'm having a very bad day, is that one, I take a step out of my room, go to my family, talk to them, go to my friends, talk to them, spend time with them, or completely isolate myself, listen to music, and just relax. Right, get everything off my mind, think about the positives than the negatives. Two different things, both work in different scenarios, but it is a good piece of advice to have, definitely.
I think some students also use sport or like
music,
playing an instrument to de-stress and you know, get perspective.
Yeah, so I think that's what Noor has to do because she has very limited amounts of friends. So, you know, she should, she just walks around school trying to annoy teachers all day, predominantly Miss Kearney. But
I
no,
told her not to listen to this for that reason.
Why?
But you were going
to
save us.
As if I would do anything to embarrass my students. we're running up to the end of time, if not already out of it. But I think we've got some good coverage of the differences between the UK and US applications and some real clear benefits, to be honest, and eye-opening information about those sporting achievements and the additional extracurricular things that do actually support applications rather than just kind of being there to tip a balance, if you like, I think is the case with some UK institutions. So on that note, I would like to say thank you very much
Pleasure
to our listeners and to our co-hosts today, Miss Fernandez, Akib, and Noor. So thank you very much, and we would like to say goodbye.
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 All of our podcasts are available via Podbean. The links can be found via our Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter account. Just look for us at Emirates International School, Jumeirah. Thank you for listening.